Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are on the air with me, Nancy Adair, the host and executive producer of the You Can Do Radio Show. That's capital U, capital K-A-N-D-U. You Can Do Radio is now an award-winning radio show with the amazing Women of Power Network, a leader in positive programming on the internet today. And today's show, we are talking with a world-renowned psychic medium, Rosie Dearhart. Rosie was my mentor for 5 years, and we worked together teaching intuition development out in New Mexico in the U.S., but Rosie has traveled the globe teaching about her mediumship. And you know that working with some of the world's leading psychics is no stranger to You Can Do Radio. We've had on the radio Mira Kelly, who past life work was featured in Brian Weiss's latest book and on Oprah.com, and also my recent interview with Melissa Blinkley as she launches her Intuitive Institute Academy. Rosie Dearhart is also a leading psychic, author of not one, not two, but 8 books on the subject. Rosie is just about to launch her 9th book, which is a memoir. She also did pivotal study at Duke University and at the Edward Cayce Institute in Virginia. Rosie's first language is the language of energy. So let's give Rosie a warm, You Can Do welcome.
Thanks, Nancy.
Rosie, you said that you were born psychic. One of the things that I really enjoyed in another interview with Laureen Malley was when she said her earliest recollection of being intuitive was when she talked to her mom about the colors she saw around other people, their auras. She didn't realize that not everybody saw those colors around people. So I want to ask you, Rosie, what was your earliest recollection of how your intuitive nature was different from perhaps other children?
Well, I remember telling my mom to put 2 or 3 extra plates on the supper table because people would be coming for supper. Or I would tell her before the phone would ring who would be on it, and then the next minute the phone would ring. So my parents were a little scared of me. In fact, they nicknamed me Weenie Witch, which wasn't a glowing affirmation.
Weenie Witch, I love it. You know, I love when people refer to psychics and intuition as kind of witchy or weird. And then when you, like me, are really interested in the origin of words and we find out that weird was the name of the well for seeing into the future, and cosmic psychic realms have gotten a really bad rap in our very corporate culture.
Weird or multidimensional is my normal. And I am delighted. I have grown older so I can just embrace all of that about myself.
And who was it that you said, quotes, above all, be lovers of your soul?
Saint Teresa.
And I know that you also said that the more self-loving we are, the more we increase our intuitive abilities.
Absolutely. For me, you know, when I look back, I'm just about ready to edit my 9th book. And when I look back at the themes of every one of those books, love is the organizing principle. It's the theme because, for me, love connects dimensions. So if I'm working with a parent whose child is in spirit or the world would call dead, sending out love is the connecting link between that inspirited one and me and of course, the parents. So, Yeah, love is the currency.
I don't want to sound trite, but I love that. And I, something that I haven't shared with you yet, but has been happening in my psychic world is through my portraiture. I've been doing portrait work just this last year, returned to drawing by joining a group that was doing portraits of people that have made a contribution to the art world. So they're not actual models. They're just people that have contributed to the arts in the greater Portland, Maine area. And from that, just a, following a thread, I ended up being commissioned to do the first portrait I've ever been paid for was of a young man that passed away a couple of years ago. And, you know, I have to study from a photograph. And I used to, when I was working with you, Rosie, I'd ask people to send a photograph with the eyes showing if they wanted me to do a soul reading, a psychic reading from a photograph, if it was a long distance reading. And I know you do that as well. And so I knew that I was going to be sitting and looking at this photograph of this young man for, you know, more than an hour to render the drawing, the portrait. And I asked his mom if I received any messages, would she like to hear them? Because I didn't want to do that without an open invitation. And she said, yes, certainly. And then the young man did speak to me. And it's funny the way he did, because I wasn't pleased with how the portrait was coming out. And so I had the portrait leaning up against a table in my living room. And every time I came into the living room, I felt like this spirit of this young man said, hey. And then the message that I got from him was actually pretty disturbing in that he knew that he was always going to die young. I also heard this song, and it was a song that my son had played for me on the audio of our car, because it was on his playlist on his iPhone. And he played this song for me when he was just starting to drive. He was 17 and he was behind the wheel of my Mini Cooper. And he put this song on, and on the song, they talk about staying up all night and living hard because they're going to die young. And I asked Lucas, because I could hear the lyrics of the song in my mind, which was part of the message that I was receiving. I asked Lucas what the song name was, and he said, oh, I have no idea, Mom. And I said, it's on your playlist. Well, the song title is actually Dying Young. I did give this information to the mother of this young man, and I said he actually told his siblings that he was going to die young, and they thought it was a joke, and they thought it was not funny. And I remember that incident with the energy of that incident with my son, because I said, turn that off. You cannot play that while you're behind the wheel of my car and I'm in the car with you and you're, you know, young, a young driver. It just brought back to me the memories of working together with you in mentoring my psychic abilities and our conversations about whether you ever edit the information that you receive and how to share that information with somebody that you're hired to work for, but doing it in the most with love as the central theme.
Spiritual etiquette is really important to me. Nancy, I have a granddaughter, Malia, who's now 15, and she's very psychic and she's an empath to boot. And I can't tell you the hours I've spent with her. Talking to her about spiritual etiquette, because she just reads energy naturally, and her tendency as an extrovert is just to share whatever she gets. And for me, I don't merge into someone's energy field unless I'm invited. And I've learned that over time, and I was hearing you do the same thing in respect to this young man practicing spiritual etiquette in terms of asking his mom if you received information, you know, if she would like you to share that, because that's it's important.
It's true that the second commission that I had was also of a young woman who died just this past July, and she had the woman that contracted with me to do the portrait wanted a double portrait because the young woman had, she died when she was 27, that she had kind of a, not a multiple personality, but two very distinct sides to her personality. And I did capture them both in one picture. But the message that I got was that she was a twin in utero and the other child didn't live. In our language, it's being dead, but in your language of energy, it's just a different spiritual realm.
Yeah, I called people who exist in another dimension, I call them inspirited ones, because for me, they still have motion and intention and energy. So inspirited ones feels much more honoring of the afterlife than dead.
Right. And this portrait that I was just speaking of was commissioned by the wife of the godfather of the young woman that died for the father, who also shared it with her mom. They're divorced. And it's such an interesting thing because there I didn't have the spiritual permission to share the message. The portrait is, it just went on its own. But I was thinking about that, you know, the possibility of that being a family story, of a family story that's told or untold, you know, what kinds of things might that portrait stir up for a family. So it's just very interesting that, you know, psychic energy is bringing me in that direction. I've just finished the third memorial portrait, and you know, that's nothing that I would have put out there as, you know, to market that, oh, I do memorial portraits.
And yet, see, this is perfect because this book that I've been laboring with now for over a year started out to be called Soul Weaving, Lessons and Blessings. And I realized I was ready for it to be finished. The book really wasn't ready to be finished, and finally I surrendered and basically said, okay, I'm just going to hold the field open. I'm going to let go of time schedules. There's obviously something here I've either not lived into or, you know, I'm oblivious to, and I'm just going to hold the field open and pray and trust that whatever I've missed will knock on the door again, so to speak. And this whole concept of future pull started coming into my consciousness. And think about future pull as seed forward. It's an invitation or an event or a shift in consciousness that moves you in the direction of your wholeness, in the direction of your authenticity, that you're not even aware it's a future pull that is always in alignment with your soul's purpose. You're not even aware that it was a future pull thread until maybe a year, years later, and then you go, oh my God. And you start connecting the dots. But seldom can we connect the dots in the present. So future pull is a frequency. It's like a magnet that is irresistible and draws you even more deeply beyond who you thought you were capable of being. And it sounds like these memorial portraits are a gorgeous example of this concept of future pull. That my next book actually is called Living Future Pull.
That is a great title. And I've thought about writing a book I've written about the concept of connect the dots. Do you remember the child's game, the, you know, in the car to draw connect the dots? And what I believe about intuition and that game is that once you do connect the dots, you see that the picture was there all along.
Exactly. That's the beauty of this concept of future pull. It's like, yeah. Well, yes, of course. Of course. You know, my when you were talking, I was thinking about art in my life because art is become a major strand in my life, along with writing and doing soul readings. And when I got my first commissioned piece, it was an invitation to sculpt out of stone Bridget, who is the Celtic protector of the well, water, women. And I said yes because it felt really vital and important to do. And because it was commissioned, I could not believe what I put myself through in terms of every belief of inadequacy really came up and challenged me, like, who do you think you are? You've really overestimated yourself now, these limited beliefs. And at one point, I was meditating on Bridget because she was a big sculpture. She was 109 pounds and 18 inches. I was meditating, and in my living room filled with light and a very high frequency. So I was really at attention, a little nervous. And when I opened my heart even wider, I recognized this energy as God. And it was like, poof, poof. And energetically, God said to me, loan me your hands. And I knew that if I agreed, I would not be the same person that I was as I entered that meditation, nor as the normal person that I think of myself as being. And I did. And energetically, well, we never touch, but energetically, I loaned God my hands. And from that moment, I knew that I could do no wrong in sculpting Bridget. I sculpted deeper. I knew I could not make a mistake with the stone. And it was only, probably weeks later that I also realized, because I was doing hands-on healing with the GLAD helpers at the Edgar Casey Center, and I was doing full readings, and I was writing, and I realized, oh my, when God asked me to loan him my hands, that affected everything in my life, not just sculpting Bridget. It just affected any aspect of work or service that I'm part of. And I was both giggly, as in little girl giggly, and in awe, and realized how my mind, how my time, place, mind, rather than my cosmic mind, had compartmentalized that encounter with the divine.
So let's take a break here for a commercial on You Can Do Radio. Welcome back to any listeners that are just joining us today or to those that are returning to this interview, this lively interview with Rosie Dearhart, world-renowned psychic medium and artist and life coach. And we have just been talking about when Rosie was first commissioned to do a sculpture, that she felt this great overwhelm of inadequacy and started to listen to what I call those inner fear leaders, that inner critic that was pummeling her with the limiting beliefs, who do you think you are? And Rosie, I just want to come back to talking about that inner critic. Part of my work today as a life coach and still doing therapy work is to help people retire their inner critic. And the inner critic is something that we all suffer with. I know I did an interview recently with Anne Roosevelt, the granddaughter of Eleanor Roosevelt, and she talked about this topic with me of the inner critic and said that Eleanor Roosevelt, first lady to Franklin Roosevelt, President Roosevelt, said she had what she called Griselda days, or no, actually they were Griselda moods. And Anne wasn't sure of where the word Griselda came from, and I did some research after the interview and looked up the old German word Grisheld meant dark battles. And I think it is when, you know, that quote of Marianne Williamson that was read by Mandela about, you know, our worst fear isn't our inadequacy, it's our personal empowerment. It's
yes.
The fact that we are wonderful, that we have this living future pull, as you called it, this pull to greatness that, you know, brings us to places we didn't even think we were going. But it's about following that energy and its lead and how to, you know, I help people to step away from when that inadequacy really comes up is when you're asked to, like you said, give your hands over to the universe, to spirit, to God.
Yeah, you know, I had a great time this summer doing, my guides actually channeled this workshop that I did this summer called Claiming Your Magnificence. And we actually went back, you know, because I'm a journal keeper. I'm just a hopeless journal keeper. But we went back to events in our life, you know, major events in our life, and looked at them through a multidimensional perspective. For example, the question that kept arising was, if this had not happened to me, and we listed the event, I would not have become, and we fill that in. For me, especially when I work with people in 3 and 5 day private retreats, the movement is looking at, instead of looking at, why did this happen to me? Why did I do that? Or why didn't I do that? Moving back a little and phrasing that question, why did this happen for me? That rephrasing of the question from victim to why did this happen to me to why did this happen for me moves us into that place of possibilities, moves us into that place of co-creation, moves us into the place where our intuition and our guides and teachers and God can take up residence in our consciousness. And that's the place I strive to live from.
Rosie, you never cease to amaze me. I knew that you were a hopeless journal keeper. In fact, that's what got me back in touch with you at this time, is I have an individual client that I was working with, and I wanted to refer him to your book on harvesting your journals. So I went on to your current webpage, and I want to bring our listeners there and then talk to you about, you know, how they get in touch with you to be a participant in one of these private retreats that sound wonderful, or to have a four-part coaching session with you, or a single soul reading. So let's start with, what is your website and how do people find you?
Okay. My website is www.heart, H-E-A-R-T, hyphen soul, S-O-U-L, hyphen healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G. And they can find me right on that website. I have put hours into developing my website because I want it to be personal. I want my website to carry my energetic frequency so people know in a second, oh, yeah, I like to work with her, or, oh, I don't think so. And if they go to my website, they can actually download a free meditation about soul affiliations. So think about soul affiliations as other realms that that we've already made an agreement to be able to access really comfortably and easily. And you may have an affiliation to the nature kingdom or the mineral kingdom or the fairy kingdom or the angelic realm or the stellar realm or light geometry realm. And the meditation takes you into what's the nature of your agreement so that you can begin accessing your multidimensional nature. And the books are all on the website. The four-part soul mentoring event is on there, as well as information about an individual soul reading, which basically looks at your cosmic report card, what your soul's purpose is, life lessons, gifts and talents. So, and there's all kinds of information on that site. You could probably spend a day on that site. So please, yes, invite your fans to visit.
I will. You heard it here, folks. You can do, listeners, and make sure that you come back every Monday at 12:30 Eastern Time, 11:30 Central, and 9:30 if you're just waking up on the West Coast. Have your morning cup of coffee while listening to You Can Do Radio on AWOP, that's Amazing Women of Power Network. And we are one of the leaders in positive programming on the internet today. It's been my pleasure to speak with Rosie Dearheart, that's dear like the animal deer and heart, one word. And Rosie truly is a dear heart. I want you to visit her website, especially for this free meditation on soul affiliations, www.heart-soul-healing.com.
And that giveaway meditation tape is under the giveaway tab.
So you can do, listeners, please go to Rosie Dearheart's website, heartsoulhealing.com. Remember, there's a little dash between heart and soul and healing.com. And under the giveaway tab, you can download a free meditation on soul affiliations and become familiar, personally familiar, with Rosie's wonderful work. And remember, she does soul readings individually for those that wish to have that done with Rosie, and also a four-session soul coaching process, which I wish we had more time to go into that. But she channels basically your cosmic report card. And I remember hearing Rosie say that she was just a tourist in your cosmic energy field. Rosie, thank you so much for being on You Can Do Radio.
It was my joy, Nancy. Thank you for inviting me.